Well, hello, darlings. We are at the crescendo as this dark moon, which is, of course, this total solar eclipse that is everywhere. Everyone's talking about it. It is a global phenomenon. We're on the precipice. The crescendo is, you know, it's like the last note that the orchestra will play, and we are just days away from this. How are you feeling? How are you traveling? I mean, throw Mercury retrograde into the mix, and this is pretty wild. I wonder if you're having unexpected rattling conversations. Hands up if you are. My hand is way up. Both of my hands are up. So I'm coming to you in a very short, sweet, succinct, to the point potty today, because you know, I'm just sort of hibernating in my cave, and there's some stuff that's rattling around, you know, in the dungeons where we're facing our inner fire, our inner dragon. We're looking the dragon in the mouth, and we have now ridden the dragon from the South Node lunar eclipse in Libra right through this wormhole, through this corridor, and now we are verging into the fire, into the hole. Into this port that is the dragon's mouth, which is the North Node, which is this solar eclipse. And, you know, having Mercury retrograde here and remembering that Mercury is activating the 19 degrees signature Aries point three times. Now, I am about to read you the Chandra symbol for this, and literally I'm literally nearly crying. Like, I just opened the book up before I started recording, and like, it's full annihilation stuff. And again, I just want to sort of preface and say, look, you know, there's a lot of hype out there, there's a lot of maybe fear mongering. I'm not seeing a whole lot of that, but I'm seeing other astrologers talk about other astrologers fear mongering. Look, I'm pretty tapped out from social media, to be completely honest. I do a little bit of a voyeuring scroll here and there. I barely interact. You know, I post when necessary and when I'm called to post or wanting to connect with you all. I love you all. I love my community. But there's just a whole lot of white noise out there. I mean, always. I mean, people are messaging me, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think? And I'm like, look, it is a big deal. We have eclipses every single year. And this one's, you know, we're feeling this one quite strongly. So I get that people are feeling it, but blowing it out of proportion and making it bigger than what it is isn't going to be helpful. Is what you are ingesting helpful or harmful? That's something that you've got to ask yourself. It's a very introspective time, and if you've been doing the work over the last 2 weeks, I mean, like I've been sharing over the last 2 weeks, we're all on our own personal journey, and that's sort of what this is, but this personal slash relational journey, because these eclipses are hell-bent on self, other, everything to do with marriage, intimacy, relationships, past contracts, karmic contracts. Stuff is bubbling up from the ethers, and now, you know, not just from the ethers, but from the cauldron of the past, and things are changing, and we're all seeing that. We're all witnessing maybe the changes that we want to make, that maybe we're too scared to make, that maybe are confronting. We're having to confront our own, again, inner dragons at this time. There's a lot of stuff that's happening, and as I've shared the last couple of weeks and prepping for all of this big, huge eclipse season, which, I mean, we are out of the eclipse wormhole itself on the 9th, but the ripple effect really takes us through to this Scorpio full moon. You know, as I've shared and as most astrologers are sharing, like, April is a doozy of a month, and it's sort of exponential energetically. I'm assuming we're going to see lots of, you know, maybe volcanic or earthquakey, eruptiony sort of stuff as Jupiter continues to get closer and closer to Uranus. This can be a lot of sudden disruption, but also like a lot of sudden revelations around things and sudden changes and, you know, these incredible opportunities and breakthroughs and these, you know, this just awesome moments. You know, it's an incredible, exciting transit. But it's a part of this eclipse season story because it pretty much happens just as we move into Taurus season, and then the full moon in Scorpio comes, which is a big purge. You know, it's square Pluto, which is the ruler of the full moon, and it's just like, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, realistically, we're not really going to feel this dynamic sort of moon energy until the new moon in Taurus. In May, and you know, even that's got a bit of the instability because you know, any sort of moon in Taurus at the moment has the Uranus edge. And as you've all heard me always talk about, is that eclipse season in general has this very Uranian energy. It's very chaotic and destabilizing, and we're seeing that, and a lot of things are being destabilized. And so I just want to say that yes, this is a total solar eclipse. You know, the Great Americans, of course, have called it the Great American Eclipse. And I get it. You know, it's moving through their country. They get to, you know, some parts of it will see the full totality of it. It's certainly not something that I'd want to be standing under. You know, there's too much reverence there for that for me. But, you know, I get the hype, you know, I get it. It's exciting. Yeah, you know, and if it's activating something quite powerfully in your own chart, like there's some big, you know, there's some big chat, there's big, you know, beginnings and endings are what eclipses are. So there's going to be some big changes that happen if it's really dynamically hitting your chart. But yeah, we're going to see big changes, you know, in the world, which we're already seeing. So the symbol for this is quite phenomenal. Like I said, I read like two sentences and I'm like, fuck off, this is crazy. This is just so fucking accurate. And we've got to remember, like I said, Mercury has already hit this 19 degrees of Aries. Now Mercury's retrograde, moving back to the 19 degree of Aries, which he will do in the retrograde phase, and then again he will move forward later this month. So this is a real trigger point, and because Chiron is there exactly at 19 degrees as well, I mean, and like I've sort of shared, if you've read my posts or anything like that. This eclipse having Chiron exact there is it's going to feel tender. It's going to feel like a sore spot. There's healing that needs that might be necessary that needs to come from this. But remember, we're in a dark moon. You know, yes, this is a new moon on steroids. You know, but there's still something that's obscured. There's still something that's hidden. And this Mercury retrograde is, I don't know, it feels like an inflammation, but it feels like we're having to discuss and talk about things that have maybe been trapped, right? Like trapped in energetic boxes, emotional fortresses, captured in our own hearts where we have just layered armor over the top of it. Yeah, like this is Mercury retrograde within such an enormous month. And of course, Aries, you know, we're looking at, you know, I'm speaking to you on the fifth, you know, day of Venus, Friday, Venus's day. Venus has just moved from Pisces, where she's exalted, to Aries. You know, she's just done that only, you know, like 50 minutes ago as I'm recording this. And so Venus enters the chat, my friends. She enters the Aries chat. You know, this is, you know, we're painting our nails with flames, we're speaking flames, our heart is on fire. You know, I'm thinking of that Gautier song, like my heart's a mess sort of stuff, right? Like I'm feeling pretty rattled at this point. And you know, there's some destabilization and old fractures again being, you know, worked over, and things that are needing to be healed, because that is sort of what we're doing here. We're karmically. So this might not just be like, oh, I, you know, something was said to me last week. It's like, no, if you're like deep in, especially if you're deep in relationship, and look, I mean, I'm really, yes, if you've got lots of planets in Aries and Libra, you guys are feeling this. I mean, I did a big thing on my Instagram, and like, you poor Libra moons, like you've just had this fucking lunar eclipse which may have hit your Libra moon. Now you've got the solar eclipse which is possibly opposing your Libra moon on some level. You know, yous are feeling some pretty big things. And it's the same for us Libra risings, because us Libra risings have this stellium of Aries energy in our relationship house. And so if you're single, I mean, no offense, but you've probably got it a lot easier than people who are in a relationship. I mean, you might be struggling with things, but it's just like, you know, being in a relationship is the work, because you are constantly confronting each other's stuff, and you are constantly working on things. You know, it's there. Being single has an element of it's just you know, it's just you're not having to be challenged, or you're not having to, you know, the mirror is maybe, depending on the work that you do, is constantly sort of pointed out, you know. I mean, yes, you might be doing inner work, but there's not someone else standing there. So for all you Libra risings out there in solid relationships that are, you know, quite conscious, and look, if they're unconscious relationships, I mean, you might be in a world of pain right now. But relationship stuff is huge, I want to say, for everyone. So it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter if you are Libra rising or an Aries rising. If you are either of those two, these are big eclipses for us, you know, like these are monumental. We haven't had this for 18 years. So we had it 9 years ago when the South Node was in Aries and the North Node was in Libra. So we can go back in these incrementally 9 years to go, well, hey, what happened 9 years ago? Hey, what happened 18 years ago? And it's not even just, you know, it's layered, like old themes may be reappearing, or you're really getting to the bottom of that barrel and really getting a lot of stuff out of the system. Like I said, wherever you've sort of encapsulated feelings, or you, whatever it is for you, whatever's going on for you, I get that we've got this sort of relationship umbrella that everyone's in, because how can we not? It's the axis of the you and I, the axis of the me and we, the axis of the us, the axis of, you know, this is the terrain that we're deeply in. And I mean, we've pretty much come from, again, that sort of energy with the Scorpio Taurus. You know, I call that the love and death nodal portal. You know, there was a lot of, you know, again, in a very different way, because we're working with fixed Taurus and Scorpio. Now there's something that's more dynamic and courageous, and we've got to really dig deep, because this is the final eclipse axis in the cycle of the zodiac, because in 2026 we move into the Pisces air, the Pisces Virgo axis, which gives us, you know, it's like we begin again. We begin a whole new 18 years next year. And far out, man, I am writing the 2025 kit at the moment, and it is fucking wild. Like, you, oh my goodness. Like I said, what did I say? I said 2023 would be 2021 on steroids, which I think it was for a lot of people. But I want to say 2025 is everything on steroids. Like, I had a great 2023, you know, like I've already said that. And I know that it was quite ruffling for a lot of other people, but like for me personally, and you know, it was quite smooth, but I can't speak for everyone else, because it's quite a huge decade. But 2025 is like a whole nother fucking can of worms. I mean, you know, if you're an astrologer, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it is next level shit. Like, when I'm saying, like, honestly, this year is a breather, even though we are in such big terrain, I still mean it. Like, I'm like, this year is probably going to be easier than next year. But I don't want to say easy or hard either, because there's no fear involved. It's just we've got to remember we're in the year of the dragon. Like, you know, and we're also in the month of the dragon. And my Chinese astrologer that I love, Renee, you know, she's like, this is hard. You know, the month of the dragon and the year of the dragon is a hard month. And you know, and that's from the Chinese astrology sort of thing. Whereas for me, I'm like, oh my God, like astrologically, tropical astrology wise, I mean, what we've got with the eclipses and the Mercury retrograde and this Jupiter Uranus conjunction, but, you know, it's a lot. I mean, and it is a lot out there. And you know, whether you're on the roads, whether you're in the shopping center, whether you're at home, whether you're with the kids, whether the kids are going through things, like there's stuff. And even if there's some joy, and again, it's like a sort of a roller coaster, even like there's moments of like, yeah, like this is so beautiful, and absolutely been having those moments for sure. So I'm with you there. And then just, you know, all of a sudden, unexpected things. And this is what will happen in eclipses, is that, and especially with Mercury retrograde. So, you know, conversations that maybe rattle you that you weren't expecting, this is happening, you know? And like I said, if you're a Libra rising, this is all happening within relationships. And even if you're an Aries rising, it might be, you know, it will be similar as well. What you're, you know, it's a big axis. I mean, I think cardinal angles with these eclipses, you know, are going through it. Even if you've got like a, excuse me, a Libra, I just need to have a little bit of a drink. Even if you have Aries or Libra on the IC or the MC, so the midheaven ruling the 10th house or the 4th house IC, you might be feeling some really big things as well. Like you may be going through some really big career stuff. Maybe maybe you got the sack, maybe you quit, maybe something happened with a family member, maybe something's happening with your children, maybe something's happening with your home, maybe your home's flooding, maybe your home's burning down, maybe your home is being rearranged, maybe you want to move, maybe you want to sell, maybe your future isn't looking like you expected it to look. If you have cardinal angles, there is a big sh a cardinal angles are the first, fourth, seventh, and tenth houses, right? So this is the who am I? Where do I come from? So it's the who am I, the ascendant, yeah, the first house. Who am I? My identity, me in all facets. The fourth house, where do I come from? Family, childhood, ancestors, my home, my literal home, property. Renovations, my soul's home, maybe that deep, dark place that I'm not willing to look at. A fourth house stuff is I wear the mask unto myself. Yeah. Others put the mask out to the public, whereas, fourth house stuff is often a mask to themselves. It's the midnight part of the chart. Like it's very hard for fourth house stuff to see itself. Yeah. The seventh house is everything to do with marriage, contracts, unions, business partnerships, intimacy, projections, relationships you attract, deflect, project, triggers, all those things. That's seventh house. And then the 10th house is everything to do with your career, your reputation, where you're heading, your ambitions. So those four angles, which are called the angular houses, the first, fourth, seventh, and tenth are called the angular houses. If you've got the cardinal signs on those angles, which means that it's the four cardinal signs of Aries and Libra, which is where our eclipses are, or Cancer and Capricorn. So if you have those on those four angles, it's a real, we are feeling these, And because if you have fixed, which is the Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, Aquarius, you guys felt that for the 18 months that we had. The Taurus and Scorpio eclipses. See what I'm saying here? So next year we're going to move into the mutable. So if you have the mutable signs, which is the Sag, Gemini, Pisces, Virgo axis, it is the mutable. You'll have mutable angles. So this is how we look at these. These are the pinnacle angles of our chart. They set everything up, these four houses. So when eclipses are going through them, for 18 months, there's a lot of karmic change, a lot of purge, a lot of karmic reconditioning, a lot of karmic unhooking, a lot of moving towards destiny and opening new doors, a lot of closing down, a lot of shutting up, a lot of, chapters ending, a lot of new beginnings, a lot of being placed where you need to be placed, a lot of uncomfortable connections. Now, couple that with, a massive Aries season, a total solar eclipse, which isn't something that we experience all the time. Like total eclipses aren't something that we have all the time. So we've got this total solar eclipse in Aries, right on Chiron. We've now got Venus in Aries. Mercury decides to be retrograde in Aries at this time. Eris, of course, is in Aries. Eris is Mars's sister, so she's this disruptor. There's a lot going on with her in the background at the moment, and Hygieia, the asteroid of health and hygiene and healing. Okay, she's also in Aries. So it is a lot of energy in Aries right now. And as I've already said, because Mars, the ruler of all of these guys, is in Pisces, there's a slow burn going on here. We're not just like firing up and getting through things. Like it is slow. And we are being asked to really plug back into divine trust, to our own spiritual connection to the universe, to nature, to music, to being present, to meditation, whatever that is for you, that doesn't involve escapism, that doesn't involve taking yourself out of what you're feeling and what you're being. I mean, that's optimal, obviously. I mean, to live like that obviously is optimal. And so, yeah, we're not in a typical Aries season. And this Mercury retrograde is really throwing something a little bit extra in, because that Aries house of yours, whatever it is, whether it's an angular house or it's another house, there is a lot of conversation going on or being thought about or being mulled over or back and forth, going on around those themes of that house. And my little poll on Instagram with everyone sort of talking about where the eclipse is happening for them, it's so literal for so many people. Like, people are re-enrolling in uni, hello, ninth house. People are going through inheritance issues, hello, eighth house, or being, like law stuff, like family stuff. Like, it's all there, like, it's all in the chart. And I just sometimes go, hey, astrology is just so fucking literal. Like, and it is so literal to the T at times that you just go, okay, I've just got to ride this out. So I'm going to read the degree to this, but I think I want to end the call with, not the call, the podcast with this. I want to just talk about this Mercury retrograde in Aries and, invite you to remember that we're talking about fire here, and we're in the dragon's mouth. We are in the month of the dragon. Like, come on. Like, it's all very extra. And this Mercury retrograde, my tip is to stay in your own lane. Stay in your own lane in April. Find your medicine. Because volatility and triggers and projections and reacting and fighting words and dragon breath, like, these things are going to be like right on the precipice of people's energy fields. Like, so many people, their nervous systems are so shot from the last few years. I mean, and then just shot in general because, it's not something that they've tended to, but the last 4 years have been debilitating with, like, a lot of grief on so many levels. So some people are just on their edge, and that's not a, that's actually not your responsibility. I just want to say that first and foremost, like, other people's triggers and projections are not your responsibility, and it's up to us to, again, stay in our own lane, which is my tip for the month, but to not, again, like, spew out our unhealed shit onto other people this month, because it's actually going to, like, it's just like pouring petrol onto a fucking bonfire. Just think, there's already a bonfire, my friends. There, we are all standing around the world on fire, okay? Maybe your own personal life is literally on fire or burning to the ground, or maybe there's just some little flames that you need to put out. Whatever that is for you, think about the fire, the bridges that are burning. Maybe it's old contracts that need to be burnt. Whatever it is, that there's flames going on, right? Like, and how are you going to fuel those? Now, projecting and vomiting your unhealed stuff onto people. No, that's just like a full petrol nozzle just going, here we go, like, let's do this. And whilst, Mercury in Aries can encourage, like, assertiveness and really speaking into creation what you want, it's retrograde. Mercury's retrograde. So we're actually, this is a time of reworking things, as we know, all the rewords. But, it really is a time to slow down. Mars ruling all of this shit in Pisces, slow. Slow down to speed up. Go low and go slow. And that's not about, again, avoiding conflict or hiding or hoping it'll go away. Because trust me, it will find you. It doesn't matter. You could hide from the whole world and something will find you, and it will rear something up. And that's life. We cannot hide from the truth. We cannot run away from reality, no matter how much ayahuasca we fucking drink. Like, we cannot. I mean, you could if you want to do that. Like, you just, like, want to do all of that all the time, go for it. But, that's not reality, right? So, the flame will come, the flame will find you, and it's about welcoming that. And that's what I'm talking about, like, this inner dragon. Like, this is around inviting all of this stuff to the table and looking at it all and being really honest about it. Because, as I said earlier, for this eclipse season, that we have true opportunities to have incredible breakthroughs, these eclipses. I mean, look, all eclipses bring us unexpected breakthroughs, and they do. They can ruffle feathers, shake shit up a bit, and change things. But then for some people, life carries on as normal, and that's going to be normal because it really depends on what's happening in your own chart. So, like I said, cardinal angles at the moment, you're in the spotlight. And whether it's Aries or Libra on the ascendant, which means that it's everything to do with identity and relationships, or whether it's Aries and Libra on the midheaven or the IC, which has everything to do with home, family, soul contracts, and future prospects and your career. Like, that's where these are being activated for you. So it's important for these cardinal angles to really look and purge and release what needs to, and look at the opportunities that fall and stay true to yourself, in this tumultuous time. But like I said, this Mercury retrograde, there is this sort of responsibility that's being asked to, hey, like, maybe not everything has to be discussed at this time. It might, sometimes it is a great time to have conversations when Mercury's retrograde, because there can be a slower, more digestible connection in, okay, let's talk about this. Like, let's go a little bit deeper into this. But again, watch your unhealed wounds and spurting those out onto other people. Watch the projections, watch being projected on. Hold your space strong, like a solid dragon in a cave. It's just like, right, like, be grounded, stay centered, because you've got to watch, are you responding? Are you reacting? Are you observing? Are you absorbing? Like, what is your role in flaming the fires? Now, there's going to be some fires that you want to flame, because there's bridges to be burned. There's things that need to be said or done, and things that need to be let go of. You're going to know if it's the right time. So there is that dichotomy, of course, is that for some people, it's like, actually, this needs to be said, and have bravery and courage and vulnerability to say that, and hold people in the space that they need. Be willing to listen, be willing to open the heart, and maybe not respond immediately. Just go, I'm going to sit with this. Okay, thank you for sharing, right? Without it having to be a tennis match. Yeah. Again, watch the fuel that you're putting on. Is the fuel destructive, or can it be reconstructive? Can you restructure the conversations that you're having with this Mercury retrograde in Aries? I really am really pulled to talk about that, because it's our communication. Like, it's what we're thinking about, and it's a really big signature of this retrograde, and the fact, sorry, of this eclipse season, and the fact that the retrograde Mercury will hit this actual eclipse point three times. I mean, fuck, wait until I read it to you. Just get prepared. So my tip for all of that is, stay in your lane. Yeah. And like I said, Venus entered the Aries chat today. So now we've got some more fire there. We're going to have the final Venus gate on the 8th. So the day before the eclipse. So we've got the 8th, where Venus and the moon, Venus is about to lose visibility as she journeys into the underworld. So this is the final gate that she activates, which is the Earth Star Chakra, and it's, the moon in the, so again, we're looking at Venus as a morning star. So on the 8th, they're meeting in Aries. I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake, of course, right? So we've got that happening. We've got now Venus in Aries for pretty much the whole month. She moves back home into Taurus on the 29th, and we can all fucking, praise some hallelujah there when she gets back home. But she has come from that beautiful exaltation of Pisces as well. And then we've got the eclipse on the 9th. So for here in Brisbane, it's at 4:21 a.m. It's a total solar eclipse, exactly to the quantum minute conjunct Chiron. The chart has the eclipse falling in the first house, which is the house of Aries. You cannot make this shit up. It's conjunct Mercury retrograde. Of course, it's conjunct the North Node, which makes it this North Node. If this is destined, there's destiny at play here. There is fate at play. It's opposite. If it's conjunct to the North Node, it means it's opposite the South Node, where that South Node of Libra is. Again, where we can be pulled into darkness, pulled into the abyss, pulled into victim stories, pulled into being the martyr, pulled into keeping the peace, pulled into not wanting to disappoint anyone. Yeah. It's making, a couple of uncomfortable aspects as well to some other planets, but they're not minor, but there's just a couple of other aspects to some planets and to some asteroids. But I won't go too deeply into that because I want to, wrap this up. But yeah, it could be an uncomfortable day on the 9th, okay? And because not only that, we have the Mars and Saturn conjunction in Pisces happening on the 10th and 11th. And so again, that's like a dark moon. It's like Mars hits Saturn every 2 years, okay? And Mars, this is the only time Mars will hit Saturn in Pisces. So we will not get this for 30 more years, which is huge, right? Like that's massive. So Mars has just finished his cycle when he hit Saturn in Aquarius back in April of 2022. And then the next hit that they have will be in 2 years, 2026, where they hit each other in motherfucking Aries. Okay. So the thing is that, Mars and Saturn are both malefics. They're both the bad boys of the zodiac, right? So they both come together. Like I said, every 2 years, Mars will meet Saturn. They bow down, tap out of the last sign that they met in 2 years ago, and then they move into the new sign. So we're going to be moving away from that Aquarian cycle and moving into this more Pisces cycle. So this can be a really great time to put up some boundaries and to really have some discipline into what actions that you're going to take from this point forward. And there's going to have to be some sort of spiritual, devotional, ritualistic connection to this. I mean, we're talking Pisces here. We're talking this is the final act of Mars meeting Saturn at the end of the zodiac, because from in 2 years, we're going to have so much change with, Saturn and Neptune finally moving into Aries, which is the beginning of the zodiac, which is the big, it's the brand new zero point. And Mars will be meeting Saturn in that space as well in 2 years in 2026. So there's so much in this in between from now until 2026. I mean, like I said, 2025, don't even go there. Like I've spent most of the week just unpacking a lot, taking a lot of notes. I've got a lot of notes. My process is very long and well thought out. And then I get onto the computer and I type out sections. It's a big year. Holy shit. I can't even deal with how big it is. So, but we're here now. We are here now. Let's be present now. So yeah, next week is huge. Next week is fully karmic. Yes, we exit the wormhole itself, but baby, it's not over. It is not over until it's over. To be honest, like I said, it's really that purge, that release, that ecliptic vibration, that energy is not really over for a whole nother month. And that is when we have the new moon in Taurus on the 8th of May. That is when we really like get out of the fucking bottom of the barrel, or we really get out of whatever we might be in, because of that full moon in Scorpio, which happens at the end of this month, which is right as Jupiter Uranus are conjunct, which means the full moon. Well, the full moon's actually not opposite that, but the moon will then be waning and purging and releasing from the 2 weeks of the full moon. Hades moon, I call it the Hades moon, or the death moon because it's a Scorpio moon, right through until that brand new moon where we really click over to a brand new energy where the moon is exalted in Taurus. It's pretty delicious. That new moon chart is pretty delicious. The new moon chart happens to be my complete solar return chart, which I'm pretty excited about because we've got Mars in Aries. So Mars has come back home. We've got Venus in Taurus. Venus is at home. We've got the Jupiter Uranus conjunction in Taurus with the moon there as well. Moon is exalted in Taurus. It's pretty damn delicious. I do want to say that I'm fucking frothing my solar return chart. And so for us, it will feel different. It's going to be, of course, very embodied. And again, Uranus is involved, so there can be some revelations or some changes that are being made. But really, until that lunation, we're really in this sort of eclipse aftermath. So yes, let's exit the wormhole on the 9th. Then we're still in eclipse season until the 24th, when the lunar, not lunar, when the full moon happens in Scorpio. Then the moon purges again for 2 more weeks, and then we get that new moon in Taurus, which will be delicious and delightful. So yeah, there's a we've got a like a little bit of a trail of that, throw the rock into the pond and the ripples out for a good few, couple of weeks yet. Yeah? So we're still moving with that. It's still going to be very active. And then, of course, we've got this Mars Saturn conjunction, which is pretty much active now, to be honest, and really building. It hits exactly next week on the 10th and 11th here in Brisbane. And this is at 14 degrees of Pisces. So, again, if you've got planets right there at 14 degrees of Pisces, it's really going to activate those. Saturn and Mars coming together generically and in general can feel like, again, like, Saturn says no, Mars wants to move fast, but they're moving in Pisces together. So there's probably actually it's going to be quite an interesting sort of synergy of those two together. It might feel frustrating. It might be a couple of frustrating days. And again, we're still going to be in that eclipse sort of aftermath. And then this happens. So it's sort of like there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to go. Everywhere you look, there you are. There's another face that you've got to face. There's another part of yourself. If you're doing the work, obviously, if you're oblivious and you're just like living your life, you're just like, yeah, everything is a bit crazy, but you're just sort of going along your way. Have at it. If that's your life, fucking high five to you. When you're deep in cauldron work, like it's, yes, joy, of course we have joy, but right now it's pretty intense. So, I'm on that ride with you all. I see you Libra rising. Okay, my cat has just come out from under my bed again. I was speaking earlier to my therapist because, of course, yes, I have a therapist. Who the fuck doesn't have a therapist these days? My beautiful psychologist that we worked out that I've been seeing for what did we work out? So, my middle daughter turns 18. What did we say it was? Like 14 years or something. So, I've been seeing her off and on for 14 years. I don't see her every week or every month for 14 years, but she is like so incredible. She's actually retiring this year. She's so beautiful. But I had a session with her this morning and I closed the door and I'm just in my room having my session with her. And my cat sleuths out from underneath the bed and I'm like, mate, you're locked in. I'm not fucking opening the door, you dickhead. Now she's just done it again. I'm staring at her. She's trying to nuzzle her way out of a closed door. Luna, mate, it's not happening. Yeah, exactly. Back it up. Back it up, mate. You're the one who is in here and now you want to get out as soon as the door closes. But the door's been open all day. The door has been the cats and doors. It's the funniest thing. When it's at night time and she goes in and out of the back door 700 times in 4 minutes, like literally it's 4 minutes, goes out, you turn around, she's there meowing. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I just let you out. And it's like, we could leave the door open, but we don't always leave the door open. I do understand cat doors, but she probably wouldn't use a cat door because she's quite neurotic. But yeah, cats are pretty funny. Anyway, our Aries house is on fire. Fire, fire. Who started the fire? I mean, are you fueling the fire? This is a big week ahead. It's very karmic because of eclipses in general are karma. And then we have, of course, the Saturn Mars conjunction, well, the Mars Saturn conjunction as Mars hits Saturn at 14 Pisces, setting up a brand new 2 year cycle for them. But it's sort of, is it the end or is it the beginning? Like it's they're going to come together in a collective 1 year. So they're seeing each other out on the final zodiac sign and they will not come back together again in this arrangement of Pisces in nearly 30 years. Okay, so this is it is a big deal. It honestly is a big deal. Next week is we go from one karmic wormhole to a completely different karmic wormhole. And that karmic wormhole may, have some frustrations or have some blow-ups, But again, yes, that is a maybe a tip. Well, it is. It's a very typical malefic conjunction. However, because they're in passive Pisces, again, are you choo what are you choosing? Whatever you're not changing, you're choosing, right? So we can work with this to be really we can work with this energy. We can always work with the energy. I mean, astrology is nothing to fear and everything to watch. I mean, it's the most extraordinary thing in the world, really, to be honest. Following the cycles and understanding where all this stuff happens in your own chart and being able to be navigated through the cosmos and understand the planets and embody them and experience your chart, experience yourself. I mean, it's the secret source of life, in my humble opinion. Like that is where it's at. So I just want to sort of, do that big shout out that next week is big. It's a karmic week. Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac, so it's karmic itself. Saturn and Mars together, where is this happening in your chart? Find 14 degrees of Pisces. That's a trigger point there as well for you to sort of unpack. But yeah, it's big. It's big. And I just want to bow down. We're all here. We're alive. Life is short. What are we choosing? What are we changing? What do we want for our future? Yeah, like it's some big stuff. What are we just not willing to take with us any longer? Are we taking heed of what's, are we facing and leaning into what's landing for us at the moment? The astrology reflects. Astrology doesn't do. No planets, no eclipses, nothing ever does anything to you. Yeah, like everything is a reflection. So if there's things that are coming up, there are things that need to be resolved, or there are changes that need to happen, yeah, or conversations that need to happen, like whatever it is, and however that's showing up for you. So I just want to thank you all for coming on the eclipse journey with me. Obviously, I have come on every week, despite possibly not wanting to sometimes. I mean, today, I peeled myself off the couch and I really wanted to be vulnerable and raw and say, yeah, like, it can be a rattling time and unexpected things happen, just when things sort of get a little bit of motion or get a little bit of traction, boom, like something happens. And that's eclipses for you. That is this time. So I want to bow down and say, look, I'm riding this wave with you, and we're all fucking human. No one is immune to life and how glorious, like the understanding, and the work, and it's liberating. That act of self-responsibility and self-awareness and having those hard conversations, often with yourself first and foremost, is a truly liberating act. Yeah, like this is self-revolutionary energy that we're in here. Yeah, like it is evolutionary. It's not just like we're not just in the revolution, we're in the evolution now, and things are changing, and it's okay. Like everything will be okay. So I love you all. I love you all. Now let me read this eclipse. So remember, we have the sun, the moon, and Chiron all exactly at 19 degrees of Aries. So remember, I read the degree after. So I'm reading 20 degrees of Aries, which is this symbol. And Mercury, remember Mercury, he hits this signature degree three times. So just think, we've got this total solar eclipse here, which is obscuring, karmic, but a new beginning, something dramatic, shifting. Chiron, this is medicine, drinking in your own medicine, alchemy, maybe feeling sensitive, triggered, something that needs healing, something where you want to heal something, whether that's relationship, self, physical, yeah, like something to do with healing on a deep, maybe a shamanic dismembering, maybe there's something that's really deep. This, like a thorn, yeah. So remembering that Chiron, who is the healer, who is the shaman, who is the alchemist, who's the medicine teacher, the warrior, still couldn't heal himself. Yet I think that there is this ability to just live in total acceptance of our wounds, and that is that Jungian. That's how Jungian teaches us, is that it's around wholeness, embracing the dragon, embracing the monster, embracing the wound, and being okay if it never fully heals, and being tender with yourself. Because if you're feeling extra sensitive, whew, this eclipse is going to really amplify that. Okay. And then Mercury. Our communication, what we're thinking about, what we're talking about, what we're seeing, who we're listening to, everything to do with sort of what's on our mind, but what's sort of happening day to day, hits this degree three times. So I just want you to just absorb all that in. That is the energy, that is like the planet's energy that is literally megaphoning this message out to us. So here is the message. an empty courtyard. Nothing is left. Reality is scattered, self-obliterated. The familiar rendered irrelevant. Honestly. Can we just like drop to our own knees now in reverence? Like drop to our own knees? Drop to our own knees at the altar of life right now. Fuck. Seriously. I'm going to start again because it's just so fucking powerful. Okay. An empty courtyard. Nothing is left. Reality is scattered, self-obliterated. The familiar rendered irrelevant. Apocalyptic changes, personal and collective take over. No being, only action. You become a projectile of intent. Literally identify with what you can do now. A barren wasteland of an inner world. A thrust outside. Stark and surreal. You feel compelled to dare. Pushed over the edge. No going back. Destiny as frenzy. And in this wild, volatile mix, creative forces are released that would never come out any other way. Yielding to the role of purging and cleansing agent of changes, you are unable to wriggle out of anything ever again. Seriously. So that just floors me because I can really feel that degree. Like, I can feel that message, every fucking word of it, just etched into my cells, into the waters, into the library of memories that I have in my body. It's like I could write the words all over my body and tattoo them on my face, scribe them on my soul, because this is what we are in. So this degree is extremely potent. Now, I will type up that degree and pop it on my Instagram page, just so you all know, so that you can, you know, read it over and over and over and over and over again. Because I, to be honest, I love that degree. I mean, I don't have any planets in Aries, but if you've got something at 19 degrees Aries, that planet is that symbol. Okay? So pretty epic. Yeah? So an empty courtyard, stark and surreal, a barren wasteland, apocalyptic changes, reality is scattered, destiny is frenzy. You are unable to wriggle out of anything ever again. And that's what I was saying. When you lean in and you face these crevices, this is the work. This is the altar that we bow to, of our humanness, of the brutality of being flawed by life, both beautifully and brutally. You know, it's going to happen always in all ways, yeah? So journey well with those etched words now that I've put out to the universe. They're in the ethers, but I will type that out for you all. And journey well next week in this very karmic week. And I will be back next week in your ears to touch base and to hold your heart. And let's do this together. So much love.